Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Stovekraft Limited Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director, Stovekraft Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Stovekraft Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants on the Q3 FY24 financial results earnings call. We also have Orient Capital with us on this call. Along with me are Ramakrishna Pandalia, our CFO, and Hemant Kothari, our Chief Business Analyst. We have uploaded our investor desk and earnings press release on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through them. In the third quarter of FY24, our revenue stood at 362 crores with a gross margin of 38.5%, thus registering a growth of 11.4% in revenue on a YOY basis. Our gross margins improved by 503 basis points on a YOY basis on a back of softening in commodity prices and optimization of our operations. The softening of inflation over the last few quarters aided well for our sector, with recovery on the horizon across rural and urban areas put us in a strong position. Meanwhile, India's economy remains resilient and the country is on the course to become the fastest growing major economy. Further, India's consumption story, with an expanding, highly aspirational middle class with increased purchasing power, make it a promising market for retail businesses. Growing internet penetration and the rise of e-commerce further strengthen prospects for Indian retail sector. As a customer-centric business, accessibility is crucial. We have strategically expanded our presence across various channels, including general trade, modern trade, e-commerce, corporate sales and exports. Our connection with the consumers. The overwhelming response has motivated us to expand our store reach even further. We are also glad to announce that in the recent quarter, we have also opened our first store outside of South India in Delhi, NCR region. We are thrilled to bring our innovative and reliable kitchen appliances to the discerning consumers of North India. This marks the beginning of our expansion plan in the northern region, and we aim to further expand our operations outside southern India through our reliable and innovative kitchen appliances solutions. For the current quarter, our major revenue contribution came from general trade, which contributed the most, and the revenue contribution of 41%. 30% came from e-commerce, 11% from modern trade, 9% from our exports, followed by 6% and 3% from corporate and retail businesses. Direct retail business. This diversified approach will further boost our sales and, as mentioned, with results in increased accessibility, better customer engagement, and strong brand building of our brands as well. In-house manufacturing has helped our company to increase volume as we cater to a larger target consumer segment. Volume growth has been seen across product categories except LED lighting, in comparison with the 9-month YOY. Our focus has been on building a strong foundation rooted in consumer satisfaction, which inspires us to push the boundaries of innovation. This quarter, we expanded our product portfolio and ventured into new categories, always keeping our customers' priority at the core. During the quarter, the company has successfully added new variants of products to widen its product offering that include our ultra-fast turbo chopper, a thermocap, the Pigeon Jumbo series of cooktops, the Electra electric pressure cooker, to name some of them. The thrust is on in-house manufacturing and increased backward integration has strengthened our business agility while ensuring quality and cost efficiency. Now I will discuss the Q3 FY24 financial performance. The consolidated revenue stood at 362 crores for the current quarter versus 325 crore in the YOY quarter, hence registering a growth of 11.4% on YOY basis. Gross profit for the quarter stood at 139 crores versus 109 crores in Q3 FY23 and 134 crores in Q2 FY24, registering a growth of 28.2% YOY and 3.8% quarter-on-quarter. Gross profit margin for the current quarter stood at 39%, that is an increase of 503 basis points YOY. Our gross profit margin continues to stay above the 35% level for the third straight quarter. And we are moving towards an upward of 37% gross margin. EBITDA for Q3 FY24 stood at 30 crores versus 25 crores in Q3 FY23, showing a growth of 18% YOY. The EBITDA margin for the current quarter stood at 8.3% versus 7.8% Q3 FY23, improving by 48 basis points YOY. Profit after tax for Q3 FY24 stood at INR 6.8 crores versus 7.8 crores in Q3 FY23, majorly being impacted by the disruptions in operations by the IT raid during this quarter. Now I will discuss the 9-month FY24 financial performance. The consolidated revenue at 1,039 crore for 9-month FY24 versus 1,006 crore revenue for 9-month FY23, hence registering a growth of 3.3% on YOY basis. Gross profit for the 9-month FY24 stood at 383 crores versus 331 crores in 9-month FY23, registering a growth of 16% YOY. Gross profits stood at 37%, that is an increase of 397 basis points YOY. EBITDA for 9 months FY24 stood at 94 crores versus 93 crores in 9 months FY23, showing a growth of 1% YOY. The EBITDA margin for 9 months FY24 stood at 9% versus 9.3% in 9 months FY23. Profit after tax for 9 months FY24 stood at 32 crores versus 42 crores in 9 months FY23. Now I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. First question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, with respect to the revenue. Within that, the first thing is, in the last call, you mentioned that there was a 50 crores of sale, worth of 50 crores, got pushed to 3Q because of the delayed festival. Now, if I adjust for that, it seems we have seen a decline YOY. So the question is, A, what is the volume growth for the quarter? B, is there a particular slowdown in any of the category, in any of the geographies? Yeah, that's my first question, sir.
Yeah, so for the volume growth, we have grown on every segment, every product segment, YOY, on volume. If you want the detailed volume growth, on pressure cooker, we have grown by 11%. The gas cooktops, we have grown by 14%. Non-stick cookware, we have grown by 21%. Induction cooktop, we have grown by 26%. We have degrown on LED by 28%, but on small appliances, we have grown by 37%. So, but there will be a differential growth on value basis because there has been softening of input costs. And so the value growth also, if you want, I can share it with you.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So on value, on pressure cooker, we are down by 6.9%. Cooktop also, we are minus 7.7%. Non-stick cookware, we are up by 17.4%. Induction cooktop by 26.2%. And small appliances, by value, we are also growing there at 33%. The different, in the third quarter, we are estimating, our assumption was, of course, because the festive was pushed to in the third quarter. We are assuming to grow over the second quarter. There is definitely a disruption in the overall revenue. We were shut for about between 5 to 6 days at the peak of the performing period. Generally, our sales between the 20th and 30th generally contribute a larger number compared to the remaining part of the month. And the operations were shut down during the IT raid for 6 days. So this has definitely impacted both revenue, and in fact, it has definitely impacted our bottom line because all the costs continue to remain, and the direct gross margin otherwise would have flown into the bottom line.
Okay, sir, without being argumentative, I'm just checking, you know, because the Diwali was in the first or the second week of November, this IT raid happened in third week of November. Anyways, the season would have, I mean, the push is kind of done in October itself. So, you know, was that, I mean, was that disruption not kind of recouped after that? I mean, how can that be a permanent loss when it happened during the quarter and not towards the fag end of the quarter, sir?
So we had, we continue to have high demand for several of the products, and we are actually not able to meet the demand, or we are just able to meet the demand. Definitely the disruption has affected the revenue. There are several products like our kettles and air fryers. So though the Diwali was over, the pipeline throughout the channel was empty and there was adequate demand. Definitely, it has impacted our both the sales and the manufacturing, both at the manufacturing level and the sales level.
Understood. Sir, just to probe on this, you know, in terms of pressure cooker, you said volume growth is 11%, but the value decline is 7%. That means the price impact is closer to 18%. I mean, is that a price reduction? Is that schemes, discounts? And can you broadly speak about what kind of you know, discounts have we seen across categories? If you could guide category by category, please.
Yeah, there is a softening on the aluminium versus the last year, and majorly the metal that contributes both stainless and aluminium. And we have seen softening in the input costs. Generally, we are a cost-plus model while we are working on improving our margins, but otherwise it's driven by cost-plus, and definitely those things get passed down. There is an improvement on our gross margins because of our initiative to increase our gross margins also, but otherwise we are a cost-plus company.
No, sir, what I wanted to ask is, what is the extent of discount, you know, category by category? Is it like in pressure cooker, you have had a 15% kind of a discount or schemes which were running, or this is actual price reduction you have taken across the categories?
Particularly in pressure cookers, I think it's not about reducing the price. This is a cost plus. So every quarter, based on our input costs, this more or less gets passed down with maybe some lag, of course, but otherwise it gets passed down. And definitely there has been input cost reduction in pressure cooker. So the net impact is what, as I mentioned, while we have degrown by 7%, our volume growth has been there to the extent of 11%.
Understood. And if I may ask with respect to the, other expenses, they have gone up 42% YOY. Would you want to split the, I mean, the key line?
The major two line items that have gone up for us is people cost has gone, is in excess of 20 crores over the 9-month period. And we have been introducing new products continuously during the year. And this, as we have invested more to the extent of 10 crores on marketing, these 30 crores of impact has come with these two major line items.
Okay. For the quarter, if you could quantify, sir, because where I'm coming from, typically 2Q and 3Q will be double-digit margins. And we've seen 3Q is actually at 8.3%, which means that what you had mentioned FY20 in the last call, that you're looking at a double-digit margin for FY24, that may not be achieved.
Yeah, so Q3 FY24, we have 8 crores of impact on employee cost in the quarter and marketing cost. Yeah, but in the Q3 quarter, we have an increase of 4 crores on the 3.8 crores in the marketing cost. So approximately an impact of 11-12 crores there.
Correct. But even if I adjust for that, the other expenses have gone up by 40%. So is it largely on account of the COCO stores?
That is also one of the, see, because these are company-owned, company-operated stores, we have an operational cost of almost 30% on these stores.
30% of revenue is
30.
Yeah, yeah. Of the store revenue is operational cost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So how do you look at the now, what is the revised guidance in terms of revenue margins or for FY24?
So we are seeing good demand. Of course, there is a increase in volume of each of these products. Because of these price corrections, the net growth by value seems a little tepid. Of course, again, I'm coming back to that. In the quarter, we would have ideally wanted to end up with at least 25-30 crores higher revenue. We have missed on that. So we are seeing reasonably good demand. There's not a very high demand situation, but there is no worries. And we continue to see similar demand, and it is growing. On the margins, I can tell you the most important thing for us was to improve on our gross margins. We are also cognizant of the additional cost that has gone up in the both on the employee cost, but all that is at the brim now, and there is a possibility of remaining at the current level. And as our revenues grow in absolute percentage terms, our employee cost will definitely come down, and that will aid the improvement in EBITDA margin.
Any number you want to guide for EBITDA margin, sir?
This year, I think we will miss the 11%, but I can we are very confident of that 11% going forward because we believe that at the gross margin, wherever we wanted to be, we are almost there. And if we continue to be there, then I don't think we have any challenges with the 11% expectation.
Got it, sir. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kush Gosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could highlight what has been the revenues in last 9 months from our own COCO stores.
Yeah. I just make your stores correct. We are closer to 30 crores.
30 crores. And what would be the, this would be now at EBITDA breakeven, or what would be the, are we incurring some losses there?
No. We are EBITDA positive. We, our EBITDA margins are in line with the company's EBITDA margin. I can say in the retail, as it even at the current level, we are better than the company's EBITDA margin.
Okay. Sure, sure. And sir, in this quarter, we have grown sales by 11%. So what would be the volume growth? How much of it would be due to volume, sir?
Just a minute. You have not combined it. 7%. Actually, I will have to consolidate and give you because I have product-wise volume growth margins, but I can consolidate. But it is in the range of 15%-17%.
Sure. Got it, sir. And, sir, given that, you know, I, this question is bit on the short-term side, but sir, given that our generally Q4 is bit of a leaner quarter for us, how are you seeing the demand ramping up, sir? You have, I guess you have the volumes over there, but I think, could you highlight over there?
Can you please come back?
So, sir, in Q4, how are the sales looking since now January has gone by? How is the demand trends that you are seeing, sir? Can we fill the gap, that 20-25 crores that we have missed in this quarter?
So the Q4 relatively is a smaller quarter compared to the Q2 and Q3. But for the period that has gone by, we are seeing growth over the previous YOY quarter. We are seeing good growth.
Okay, sure. And bit on the long-term side, sir, we will continue to grow by double digits for FY 2025, 2026, and reach that double-digit guidance of 11% margin. How confident are you now?
We are more confident than before in the compared to the recent quarters. Both because we are now hovering around that 37+ gross margin, and we believe there is scope for improvement because more and more new products that we have introduced have got good traction at the right margin. And even our retail, as it starts contributing more, our gross margins will improve. Of course, there's also a cost to the retail business. And on the demand side and growth, I can only say that the sector that we were not very large is where we are getting large. That is going to become the largest for us in and the contribution from small appliances, we believe, will be the largest. So this is a completely, I mean, new business that is getting approved to our business, and our existing businesses, existing product categories are also growing. So we are confident in a normal scenario to grow at a very high double digit. But, even otherwise, considering not a great situation because of, I can say, on volume growth, we have no regrets, but definitely on value, this year, we would have ideally wanted to grow at our historical 19%-20% CAGR. But, I think we will end up at, around to, still, closer to a double digit or maybe, a notch lower for the year.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll get back in the line. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Akash Jain, from Moneycurve Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I have a couple of questions. Given the current demand scenario, which is reasonably tepid across companies, and across consumer categories also, we are seeing that. Can you throw some light in terms of, is there a rethink on the total CapEx plans? Because we have already sitting on significant capacity and utilization is not that high. So is there a rethink on CapEx? Because obviously it starts hitting you on fixed cost and depreciation as well. So just one question on what is the plans for CapEx, both in maybe in the next one or two years, what is the plan? And the second-
So I think we are at the fag end of our CapEx cycle. We have put all the plans in place. There is an ongoing CapEx, which will conclude by the middle of next year. Apart from the retail store expansion CapEx, and the normal maintenance CapEx. Majority of that is done. Of course, there is work in progress. It also will be part of our next year plan, but I can say we are at the fag end of our CapEx cycle. All that we aspire to have more or less is in place. Wherever we are at the current level, there is enough room for growth from here.
The cast iron project, how much more CapEx is to be incurred next year, sir?
I think we'll be able to put the plant in place by March, April. Approximately 60% of the CapEx is done, and we believe about 20-25 crores of CapEx is due.
Which is going to happen in Q4 and maybe a little bit in Q1, but mostly Q4.
Yes, sir.
Sir, the second question is related to retail. Right now, the whole strategy has been on opening stores and having COCO stores. Is there a thought process towards franchising it? That is one part. Second, I also want to understand the whole profitability on how we are looking at profitability of retail. See, one is on EBITDA margin, you are looking at it, but the gross margin obviously is higher because we are capturing the retail part of the margins also versus distributor sales versus our own retail sales, right? Gross margins ought to be higher, but are we from a cost perspective, how much cost we are allocating, et cetera? I want to understand broadly what is the profitability the company is looking at a retail business level.
Okay. First, I'll answer both your questions. On the franchising model, we already started this. All the plans for the next year that we have on opening these stores, it is a cash neutral for us. These will continue to be company-owned but franchisee-operated. All the CapEx that goes or the cash outflow that goes into each of these stores is recovered by way of non-refundable or refundable deposits from the franchisees. We are already having enough traction for that, and so there is not additional cash allocation for expanding these stores. On the gross margin, I can say that we are in the range of 48%-52% on gross margin for these stores, and we are at about 30% on operational costs. Overall, it's a positive to our EBITDA even at the PAT level for the retail business. Actually, as the stores mature, they start contributing better.
Are we going to convert all our existing stores to franchisee model, that's a company-owned, franchisee-operated, or part of it will remain COCO and part of it will be franchise?
We have a different strategy for this. We first open these stores as company-owned, company-operated stores. When these are well-established, then we appoint these franchisees. This is a dynamic situation. Existing stores move to franchisee-operated, and new stores get opened as company-owned, company-operated. It is not limiting to this. There are franchisees who have already started experiencing, and if they want to open more stores, because there is a Saukraft way of operating these stores that we believe they require to fall in line with our expectations. With the kind of, what you call, acceptance from the franchisees, the plan for us is that going forward, assuming we are already at 140 at the beginning of this quarter or at the end of last quarter, assuming we are at that 160-170 stores, at any point of time, this 140-170 stores is the maximum where our investments will remain, and all the new stores will automatically move to the franchisee-operated, company-owned stores.
Got it. I'll join the queue, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arkopratim Pal from Sanjay Agarwal Broking. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity. Most of my question you already answered. but only I want to ask that what is your expectation about the demand scenario of this current coming quarter compared to last quarter?
So our fourth quarter is softer than the third quarter always historically, but we are growing over the similar period last year. YOY, so far for the quarter, we are seeing good growth.
Okay. And could you please elaborate on any potential change in OPA that might be anticipated for the current quarter?
Can you please come back?
I'm asking, can you please elaborate any potential changes in operating profit margin that might be anticipated for the current quarter?
So we are hovering around 37-38% on gross margin, and we believe that we can definitely cross the current EBITDA margin levels for the quarter.
Okay, and one more question I want to ask that how much does the price decrease or increase in that quarter?
The current quarter is stable, is in line with last quarter. We have taken a small jump post January. We have taken a small increment in our prices.
Small increment. Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're audible, sir. Please go
ahead. Good evening. Sir, first, the small clarification. In any of the stores, exclusive brand stores that were opened during Q3 or anything that you're planning for Q4, any of these are on the franchisee or still all are on COCO only?
Okay. So, about 10 stores from our existing stores have moved to franchisee, but there is a pipeline of franchisees, and we have a run rate of 8 to 10 stores per month. We are currently not at the run rate of 8 to 10 stores per month on franchisee, but at the beginning of next year, we'll be ready with the same run rate at the rate that we open new stores and what we will be franchising. So in all, the sum and substance is that our new year, the next year, the next financial year, there is no cash outflow on account of new stores that are being opened. We have aggressive plans on opening stores, but we also have equally confident of having franchises to manage these stores.
Correct. So, sir, you, in response to the earlier questionnaire, so my understanding is that what you are saying is, let's say you end up the year with 160 or 170 stores. So next year also, by end of FY25, you would still have 160 COCOs only, but the number of stores would have gone up maybe 250 or something. The balance 90 would be franchise. If that is what you are saying, correct?
Your understanding is absolutely right.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Good. So my second question is, how is the response to our modular kitchen, sir? Because you are very bullish. So anything, after that we haven't heard anything from you. So how is the sales? Anything has happened during FY24 from this segment?
Modular kitchens. So modular kitchens, we are part of our retail stores, and we are not marketing these modular kitchens anywhere outside the retail stores. We have reasonably it's not a significant revenue contributor to our sales, but we are selling about 15 to 20 kitchens a month, and the ticket size is quite low, so it's not very substantial.
So how much we have done, let's say, in FY24 till now from this segment?
I will have to get this number, but
you have this
number. We'll share it with you, sir. We'll send it.
No problem. But what I'm saying is it not as per your expectation when you have...
No. To be very honest with you, we have not explored any other channel of sales, but we are, it is part of our retail stores, and it is not significant.
Okay, fair enough. But going ahead in FY25, are you, want to explore any new ways or, anything to get a significant revenues from this product?
From the kitchen business or
modular kitchen, I'm asking.
Modular kitchen, no. We will continue to have these kitchens in our stores and organically grow on the retail business.
Okay, fair enough. So my next question was regarding the another company that you bought was this Scava. Is there anything happening with this company which you had acquired?
That is part of our LED business now. And gradually, these are moving to the Pigeon brand.
Okay. So, but anything we have got, I think there was a discussion that you want to bring down the credit facilities and all that from the, those dealers of Scava. So now, how much revenue we are getting from this, these Scava products?
These are part of the LED business. I will also want to say that we have not grown on the LED business in the last 9 months, both because of fall in unit prices, and there is stiff competition on this, but we are more excited with our appliances business and the growth in the appliances business. Our more focus is moving towards our core business, that is the kitchen and home, and while the business continues to be there, it is not that it is neither it is on high growth nor it is on high focus.
So, what you are trying to say is both this modular kitchen and this Scava products, they are there part of our products, but it is not been given more focus because it is not a high growth product segment, correct?
No, it's not that they are not high. For us, we believe that we'll be more focused on our kitchen and home. We did endeavor to get into these lines. We'll continue to be there in both the segments, but they are not of high focus.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, my last question is, I was going through the earlier calls. There was a mention of selling the Black & Decker products through Lifestyle. So anything we got the approval or any update on that?
We never mentioned Lifestyle. We continue to sell our Black & Decker range of products, and we are going to add quite a few products to the brand in the few quarters, in the coming quarters. But we may also sell to any of these modern retail outlets. But I don't remember having specifically mentioned to you about.
So there was no plan to sell it through Lifestyle or anything, right?
We may be selling. I'm not ruling out.
Maybe in future, but not as planned as of now. That's what you're trying to say.
I think we may be talking to them. See, the team that handles Black & Decker will be able to know better. But it's not that that we would have made a mention of this.
Okay, no problem. So my last question, if I could squeeze in. Sir, you are very much, stick to this brand of, the range of 11 to 13% EBITDA margins. And whatever you do, the backward integration, whatever savings you do, you always want to pass it on to the customers. So I just wanted to know, why are you so much particular in that 11 to 12% EBITDA? Why we can't aspire for higher range?
I think the directionally, I hope you would have got that we have moved from 30 to 33%. Gross margin to 37-38% gross margin. This is also aided by our backward integration also.
Correct.
There would have been instances of additional spend during this growth period and expansion period. This always stabilized. And we believe that ultimately we will be in that range, and we would first want to protect our 11% and then grow from there.
So you are trying to tell me that, let's say, next year onward there is not much of capex and your employee cost also would have stabilized, all that. So you mean to say we can aspire for, 13 to 15% range maybe after a year or two?
I would not be able to guide you for a margin like that. But I can assure you that we will be able to protect this 11% aspiration.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you very much for answering all my questions. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, can you help us with the fixed cost in terms of the fixed employee cost and the fixed overheads in part of other expenses, which is there for a quarter or a monthly basis? Can you help us with that number?
So on the employee cost, we are moving towards, for the annualized, I can say we are towards 165 crore annualized employee cost.
Okay. And what about the other costs, sir?
The other major cost is our marketing spend. We continue to spend 3.5% of our revenue on marketing. The overall other costs other than these two, including our outward freight, are in the range of 8%.
So freight alone is 8% or the all other costs?
Including freight is in the range of 3.5%, and all other than the employee and marketing spend, all other costs, including the outward freight, is in the range of 8%.
Understood. Sir, can you help us with the CAPEX number for FY 24 and 25?
It will be far lesser than our overall depreciation for the year.
Any numbers, sir?
It's sub 50 crores.
This is for FY 24 and FY 25?
No, I meant FY 25. FY
24, sir?
We are in the same range. So FY 25, we have we are going to conclude all the CAPEX that are ongoing.
Got it. And can you talk a bit on the exports as to how it is doing? What is the outlook? You know, if you have seen any sluggishness, is there any impact of the Red Sea disruption because of the issues and any impact on the containers, availability, pricing, etc.?
We have no problem with our exports. In fact, our exports continue to grow. And because the nature of that business, we get a visibility for a longer period. We have larger commitments for the coming year. Of course, for them, the year is January to December. And we see very good growth on our exports. But we will also want to be as cautious on the exports. So we will not be, while we are adding our new customers, we are seeing, we'll continue to go on our exports. There is no sluggishness, sir. There is no sluggishness.
Why would you be cautious? Any particular reason, sir?
Our experience has always been that on export business, if everything is well executed, it's a very good and profitable business. In your aggression, if you fail somewhere, then the cost impact is very high. So we would want to do it rightly, both in terms of execution, quality, product development. The most important thing is timely execution.
Okay, understood. And the e-com, any changes are you seeing on the e-com front in terms of whether the way the pricing, the competition, the margins?
We are a very strong, we have strong presence in e-com. It gives us that, I can say, a power to also price. It's, as it is, we are very aggressively priced. So there is no such challenges that we have. And there are several products where we are leaders in this channel also. We are growing on our e-commerce. And similarly, our discussions with them for the next year gives us higher confidence on higher growth for the coming year.
Got it. And just one question, you know, with respect to these new categories. I remember LED, we started 4 years back, and now we are seeing the, you know, the struggle to grow, given whatever is happening with the competition or the scale. We've also seen that nothing much has really happened on the modular kitchen stroke, switchgear front, right? So, sir, what are your thoughts about the categories? I mean, would you want to be focused only on the kitchen, or you want to do, you know, the home products as well eventually?
Yeah, it's not that we cannot build these businesses, but We believe we are better and good at the kitchen and home business. Our channels, the existing and the channels that we are building, can contribute, I mean, they can do better with our kitchen and home business. So I can tell you it's a conscious call that we'll continue to be in this business but not focus on them. And the opportunity within this home and kitchen business is very exciting for us. So, of course, we did invest both on the kitchen and the lighting business. To the size of the company, we believe they are not very large investments. So we continue to be there. But I don't think they'll be core at any point of time core to our main business.
Sir, sorry, if I'm hopping on this, you know, if it is not a focused, why would you want to be there? You know, because ultimately there will be some amount of management bandwidth is being spared on those categories, right? If you're not going to kind of...
So we have deleveraged it to a maximum extent. So when I say the kitchen business, we continue to sell it only through our stores. Even the manufacturing, we have kind of contract manufactured this kitchen business so that it's kind of minimum involvement in only like executing that order. Similarly, on the LED business, we continue to be on the consumer lighting business. We are doing well on that, and we already have the facility, and we are moving to a kind of a wholesaling kind of arrangement for that. So that is minimizing our expenses or the manpower, the cost that is main cost to the business. And the same people can contribute better to our retail, I mean, our home and kitchen business.
Got it. I think that's about it from me, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. So most of the questions have been answered. It is just a follow-up on the last participant's question. So earlier, you had said that you were guiding approximately 11%. So did you mean that on an annualized basis or in fourth quarter? Just can you clarify that?
And then the fourth quarter, we'll continue to be able to move with the current trend. We are at about 9% for the year. And for the coming period after the fourth quarter, we believe that we will be able to get back to 11%.
Okay, so 9% is your FY24 guidance and 11% is what you're guiding for FY25.
Yeah.
All right. So just wanted to understand what exactly is going to drive the 9% on an annualized basis, because that would mean that you would have to register EBITDA at double digit in quarter four. Now, in terms of the quarter, I believe it's a softer quarter. Gross margins have bottomed out. So what exactly is going to drive a performance to get that EBITDA of 9% on an annualized basis? Can you just tell us what will be the driver there?
So YTD, we are already at 9%. We are upwards of 9%. It's not 9%. And if we continue to be at the same level also, we'll be at 9%. And between 9 and 10 is where we are. Maybe, but the current quarter, as I already mentioned, there was a disruption. We did lose a revenue of 25-30 crores. And majority of that gross margin would have otherwise flown into our bottom line, and that has impacted the current quarter. And otherwise, we are in that range. So even YTD, we are upwards of 9%.
Understood, sir. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. The next question is from Kush Bhuslani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, I just wanted to get the sense on the other expense. Is the 61 crore run rate going to be there? Are there any one-offs? Because out of the 9 crore increase on a sequential basis, you highlighted 4 crore is because of additional advertisement spends. So where is the remaining 5 crores going, sir? Could you help us to solve this mystery?
I'll have to understand your question, please.
So, sir, this quarter we did a 61 crore of other expenses compared to 52 crore in the September quarter. So that's a 9 crore increase. Could you quantify why the this jump seems a bit higher, because we were doing 52 crores of kind of a...
The major spends are in these two buckets. The major increase are on people cost and advertisement spend. The rest will get normalized again.
Okay. So then the advertisement in this quarter, what, how much was the total quantum you spent, sir?
How much is this?
And promotion?
15 people cost. So the major spend in this quarter was advertising at about 15.5 or 16 crores, and people cost was 46 crores.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Good evening, all the participants on this call. First of all, thank you all for sparing the time and welcoming to this call in the late evening hours from your family time. We hope we are able to answer all your queries. And if you have anything that beyond what we have discussed on this call, please reach out to us. You can directly write to us or to our investor relationship managers. And thank you once again, and good evening to all of you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Stovecraft Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.